The Chiefs have made history again. Six consecutive AFC Championship appearances. That's second in NFL history only to the New England Patriots. And now they go to Baltimore, and for a fourth time in 5 years, they seek to win Lamar Hunt's trophy. We'll take a look and have a special guest as Trey Smith, the Chiefs' outstanding right guard, will be with us on this edition of Defending the Kingdom, which, of course, is brought to you by Ticketmaster.
They give it off to Pacheco, slamming on the left side, angling into the end zone, touchdown! Kansas City, Pop gargles the sweet nectar of the end zone, and the Chiefs are back in front, 26-24.
Hi everyone, I'm Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs, along with senior team reporter Matt McMullen. The Lamar Hunt Trophy goes to the AFC champion. The trophy was started to be named after him in the 80s, and the Chiefs always had a yearning to try to win that trophy that's named after its founder. But we saw the trophy given to the Patriots so many times, and the Steelers, and the Colts, and the Broncos, and others that were champions of the AFC. But now, Matt, for remarkably a sixth consecutive year, the Kansas City Chiefs will play for the Lamar Hunt Trophy and maybe win it for the fourth time in five.
It's things like that that make me wonder if we are living in a simulation. For people like you and I, like, this is what we would do in Madden. Like, oh yeah, the Chiefs go to six straight AFC championship games. The league is set up in a way where parity is supposed to be occurring. So every city has a chance at these kinds of things. So everyone remains interested. Every season is super compelling because it's going to be somebody new every year. That's why the salary cap is the way that it is. The draft is set up the way that it is. The Chiefs have found a way for six straight years now to make it to this point. And as you said, it's historic. Only the Patriots have a longer stretch of going to the conference title game in consecutive seasons in NFL history. This does not happen very often. Most people will go their entire life and never see their team even get close to this kind of success. So we're going to talk all about the Ravens here and this matchup and how we can hopefully get back to the Super Bowl. But for a moment, let's take in how amazing this opportunity is that for a sixth straight year, people go to college and graduate and then get out of college for 2 years and 6 years. Every year, we've gone to the AFC Championship game. It's an amazing moment and an amazing opportunity once again.
And I would assert, to follow up with that, the last three have been even more difficult than the others. And why? The addition of the 17th game makes it one more game against a division champion from the NFC. You always cross-pollinate and play four NFC teams every year. That was there for the 16-game schedule. But when they made the 17th game and a 17th week, if you are a champion, you're going to play another division champion. If you look at this year, the Chiefs played the Eagles. The year before, we had to go to San Francisco. And next year, we'll play San Francisco again. So it's made it even tougher. You're always going to play a number one schedule, but your number one schedule gives you one more number one game, and there's only one bye.
That's why everyone will look at, like, the opponents when the season ends. Like, oh, here's the opponents for every team. And you'll see, like, national pundits saying, like, ugh, really tough schedule for the Chiefs. Who knows? I've stopped even, like, caring about that.
It's been that way every year.
It's there every single year.
Since 2018.
The toughest schedule in the NFL. It's just that way. When you're really good, you're going to play a really good schedule. And every year in this six-year run, the Chiefs have found a way to get back to this moment. And this might have been the hardest road they've ever had to take. Going to Buffalo last week and winning in Buffalo. And we can talk about the environment there, because that was a city and a stadium that was so hungry for that moment. It was us back in 2018.
Yep.
They so badly wanted it. And this was their opportunity. And man, we talk about the legend of Patrick Mahomes. For him to go in there and this team to go in there and to win in that environment and to silence that crowd, I really believe it's the stuff of legends. Like, we'll see it on NFL Network in 20 years, and people will be like, remember that game where Patrick Mahomes, for the first true road game of his career, went to Buffalo and won, and we were there for it? It was something special. So let's just keep it going, right? Let's go to Baltimore and do the same thing.
Yeah, and I don't want to gloss over. We're going to go around the world here. And this spurt, because this Chiefs team has shown some unusual toughness back to the Arctic Circle game against Miami. But it really started, and Trey Smith's going to be with us here in just a few minutes, kind of started with those guys all the way back to the week prior to the Bengals game. That's where this thing started to roll. But I also do not want to overlook the fact that this trophy is named after Lamar Hunt. I've talked to Clark about this many times. I wish his dad, the founder of this team, who was so beloved and loved, and I love conversations with him about things like this. If he would be here to see this, he would be beaming with pride. But it's almost like I wish I could take an advance trip and talk to the Ravens and tell them, here's the guy that you're playing for this too, right? And you've won it before, okay? They won it the whole shebang in 2012, and they won it back in 2000. But the fact that pro football today would not be what it is, not even close, without Lamar Hunt. Every team, all 32 teams, every day of their existence are doing something that is part of their lives, their games, that was either started or manifested by Lamar Hunt. It's really underrated, his impact on the game of pro football as it is today.
1,000%. In pro football, for so many people like you and I and millions of others, it is woven into the fabric of daily life in America and now around the world. It's just part of life. Think about the Super Bowl. Everybody watches the Super Bowl. Even if you don't like football, you watch the Super Bowl. It's a thing. Everyone does it. And normal football games, if you look at the top watched events every single year on television, like the top 80, like 75 of the top 80 are NFL games, just regular season games. Football is so woven into the fabric of our society. And if it was not for Lamar Hunt, it would not be that way. I truly believe that. The way he completely, fundamentally changed how football is consumed. The entire AFC owes Lamar Hunt. It would not exist if it was not for him. And also markets like Kansas City and like Buffalo that are not number one media markets in the country. 2 million people live in the Kansas City metro. It's a big place, but not a super big place. These places would not have football teams if it was not for Lamar Hunt that saw the value in going to a city like Kansas City and bringing them this football team. So I could go on and on, but Lamar Hunt was a true visionary, one of the most important people in American sports history.
We need to do this in the offseason, just have a whole Lamar Hunt defending the kingdom, because he revenue sharing, the division setup, the playoff setup, names on the back of the jerseys, two-point conversions, all of that was the vision of Lamar Hunt. And what was the ratings of the Bills game? It was shattering.
50 million people watched the Bills-Chiefs game, most ever for a wild card or divisional round game.
50 million watched that game.
50 million.
And honestly, the vision of Lamar Hunt, because he brought football to the South. He brought football to the Mountain Time Zone. The Denver Broncos wouldn't have existed without Lamar Hunt. The Buffalo Bills, the 54th market in the nation, were the 34th. The Chiefs wouldn't have had football. Buffalo wouldn't have had football. And so it's just amazing the impact of Lamar Hunt, and that's this trophy that the Ravens and Chiefs are playing for this week, and the Chiefs are playing for it for a sixth consecutive time. You mentioned around the world. Let's do it. Let's jump on your space station and take a spin. And I got two more to add, because two fans came up at the game in Buffalo, huge Chiefs fans from Northern Ontario, and I'll add them to your list.
And they were behind enemy lines up there. So Mitch and I, not to get off track, but Mitch and I, to get to the radio booth, had to walk along the Bills sideline and then up the stairs of the lower concourse to the radio booth, because it's an old stadium. It's the second oldest in the AFC, and their radio booth is not attached to their press box. Mitch and I were getting it from the fans. We were getting boos and heckles and all kinds of stuff. Kind of made it all sweeter in the end. But anyway, proud of those people for showing up. Looking forward to hearing their names here in a moment. I've got six today for obvious reasons. Sixth consecutive AFC championship game for the Chiefs. So shout out to Warren and Mary Beth in the hinterlands of North Idaho. Warren is a Kansas City native and a lifelong fan. He's also a 32-year veteran of the military, He kept up with the Chiefs despite being sent all over the world. He was even the chief navigator aboard Air Force One for a time. But his most his most important and impressive achievement in life is that his wife, Mary Beth, was rescued by him because she is a native of Colorado, born into a Broncos family, and she is a full-blown Chiefs fan now. So
that's,
good work.
That story sounds familiar to me.
It sure does. These people are coming out of the woodwork. I'm just saying.
Might be Ellie McMullen rescued by her husband, the damsel in distress. Now, is he at the top of the smokestack of Idaho, like Coeur d'Alene, like north of Coeur d'Alene up in there?
So he said north Idaho. I would think so. I don't know for sure, but I would think. It's
beautiful
area.
You know
how
the smokestack goes up.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it's got it. Okay. Cool.
It's a gorgeous area. I drove through there because I used to live in Oregon for a time. I worked for a minor league baseball team.
Kaiser Volcanoes.
Yep. Go Volcanoes. We drove through through Idaho on the way there and on the way back. Beautiful place. So shout out to Warren and Mary Beth. Shout out to Megan. She tweeted at both of us. So Megan is from Blue Springs originally, but now lives in Wilmington, North Carolina. She converted her husband, who wasn't even a football fan, didn't watch football, into a Chiefs fan after Super Bowl 54.
Kingdom evangelism. I love it.
Good work, Megan. Shout out to Graham, listening from Port Hardy, Vancouver Island in British Columbia. Loves the Chiefs and hopes to attend a game here in Kansas City one day. I'll be in Vancouver this summer because we're going on a Alaskan cruise, but it's leaving out of Vancouver. So,
beautiful. Yeah. You're going to love it.
Excited for
so
that.
So beautiful.
Hopefully I'll be celebrating a Super Bowl championship. We heard from some familiar names here, Dortmund, Caro, and Mattis in Germany. They said that the last few weeks have been a little tough on their schedule because these games are happening at night, but they don't care. They're powering through it. The good news is the AFC Championship game is a day game, so we'll be a bit easier on our friends over there in Germany. But I respect it. They're staying up in the middle of the night cheering on the Chiefs.
Das Spiel wunderbar.
Uh-huh.
God, love our German fans, man. Up all night. Love it.
Shout out to Elijah. Elijah is originally from Missouri, but now lives in Texas, surrounded by Cowboys fans. Thanks for listening, Elijah, and stay strong down there. And then lastly, we've got Bia K in Maryland, behind enemy lines in Maryland, fighting for the kingdom. Hopefully they're having a good Sunday night here in about a week.
Stay strong.
Uh-huh.
So two fans came up while we were doing our Field Pass show, but they were part of – they're from Northern Ontario, so I think where Buffalo is, and Toronto's just right there, right, 45 minutes, so Southern Ontario, but you get north of there, and yeah. But anyway, Valerie Raymond and Marty Dubuck, I want to get this right, Marty Dubuck, it's pronounced Dubuck, I think, but a French Quebec, you know, Northern Ontario, putting all that together, diehard Chiefs fans. And they were there holding the flag, surrounded. You know, it was like Bastogne, like nuts. We will not surrender. We will stand right here. And so brave Canadians, kind of Canadian day at the ballpark here.
Yeah.
Because you had some Canadians from Vancouver. So we got British Columbia and we've got Ontario. We want every Canadian province represented.
Come on.
Let's go. So bring it.
Get Manitoba.
Let's go. Saskatchewan.
Yep.
Let's bring it all. So hopefully here during the playoffs, we will hear from all of our Canadian friends. And you got another one?
No, that's it.
Okay.
Yeah, six today.
Let's roll into this.
Yeah.
Because
we could do it for hours and hours, but we probably should get to the game.
Let's get to this Ravens-Chiefs game. And this Ravens team is excellent. And let's start with this Ravens defense. They have been, you know, it was interesting. I heard Dane and Hughes talk about this on the Chiefs Kingdom show last night on their radio network. And I'm going to applaud the Ravens for this. This really started, they became, remember, they're the old Cleveland Browns. This is the old Cleveland Browns that took off and made the Baltimore Ravens in the late 90s. And then the new Cleveland Browns came in at the turn of the millennium. But Baltimore has always kept the same, kind of like the Steelers, they've always kept the same kind of genre persona of tough guys.
Yeah.
They're going to be physical and tough. And this Baltimore defense is an epitome of that. This is a very, very good Baltimore defense.
Yeah, let's look at these guys defensively. It's the number one scoring defense in the NFL at 16.5 points allowed per game. They are the only defense in the NFL to allow fewer offensive points than us. We allowed 271 offensive points, second in the league. They allowed 261. They also have 60 sacks this year, most in the NFL, just three more than us. We're in second. And they have some really good playmakers up front. Notably, and we'll ask Trey about this guy, defensive tackle Justin Madubuike has 13 sacks as a defensive tackle. Really, really good player. Jadeveon Clowney is on the edge for them. He has 9.5 sacks. Kyle Van Noy, still playing in the league, been around a long time. He has 9 sacks. So a very good defense for a lot of reasons. But if you look at couple reasons why they've been so good, because they're the only number six total defense in terms of yards allowed. Still very good, but why are they the number one scoring defense? Well, they have 31 takeaways this season, tied for the most of any team, and they are the number two red zone defense in the NFL, allowing touchdowns at only a 40.8% clip, and they have 6 red zone takeaways. So we'll get into it a bit deeper, but this is a defense that's very talented, but they sack the quarterback, they force turnovers, and they're good in the red zone. Those are three areas the Chiefs have to win on Sunday.
Let me back that up. They're the first team in 54 seasons in the National Football League to be number one in scoring defense, sacks, and takeaways. 54 seasons. It gives you an indication of just how strong this defense is. And Madubuike, who is a menace, right? You look at him in his fourth year at Texas A&M with his 13 sacks. There's only been three guys in the last 5 years are interior defensive linemen, not edge guys, you know, not the Boses and those guys, that have had 10-plus sacks. Chris Jones, Aaron Donald, and Justin Madubuike. So it gives you an idea. But it also tells you of the challenge that has been met by the Chiefs' offensive line ever since the Cincinnati game. This offensive line for the Chiefs, what is overlooked in the Bills' victory, Kansas City only ran 43 advancements in that game. There were 47 plays, but four were kneel downs. And Buffalo ran 78 plays at home in a divisional playoff game and lost. Why? It's been overlooked. We look at the passing yards and the rushing yards, and yes, okay. But the Chiefs were so pristine and clean in that game and tough. The fact that they only had five third downs for the whole game is crazy. And only two penalties, Matt, and zero false starts. And you and I know that that was a cauldron.
It was. To play like they did was truly outstanding. And they took the fight to the Bills throughout. The Bills are banged up defensively, but they still have a very good defensive line and a very good defense. Guys like Ed Oliver on that defensive line, Von Miller. I get he hasn't had the season that everyone expected, but he's still Von Miller on that defensive line.
Rousseau, Epinesa.
Yeah, Gregory Rousseau. I mean, really good defensive players. And throughout, the Chiefs were just bringing the fight to the Bills, and they were blowing the Bills off the line. And that's where the game was truly won. Patrick Mahomes was only pressured eight times in that game, and he was very good when he was pressured. And Isaiah Pacheco having such a great game, rushing for 97 yards, having multiple runs of 10 or more yards. Clyde Edwards-Helaire having a really nice night as well. That all begins with the offensive line and guys like Trey. They were just so good throughout. And once again, we'll need them to be good in this game because this defensive front for the Ravens is no joke.
So it's only fitting as the Chiefs get ready to try to win a Lamar Hunt trophy on the road against the Baltimore Ravens in the city of Baltimore hosting an AFC championship for the first time since the 1970 season in 71 January when they were the Baltimore Colts. So it gives you an idea of the intensity of this game. And there's no better player to bring on defending the kingdom when it's high intensity than the guy. And as a father and as a grandfather, you want your kids to have great role models, right? As athletes, we've got one for you. Our guest this week, Trey Smith. He'll be playing for the Lamar Hunt Trophy for the third time out of 3 years in his career. I'll just set it up this way, Matt. My 9-year-old granddaughter, Cora, her favorite player is Trey Smith. She likes Patrick Mahomes and Kels, and nothing against Pop. It's the right guard. Trey Smith, it's her favorite player because it tells you everything you need to know. A warrior on the field, a gentleman off the field. Is awesome that my granddaughter, you're her hero. But just what about that and the persona that you have on the field? If you're going to give it all you've got, but off the field, you've learned to be a gentleman and a leader.
Yeah, that's so cool. You know, as offensive lineman, it's rare you get loyal fans like that. You know, and hearing that, it's special. You know, understand that, you know, just keep behaving well off the field, just keep being a guy, a man of faith, and just keep being led like that. I mean, I lost my mom when I was 15, and those are some of the values that she instilled in me. And one of the biggest things I had was, at the end of the day, I lived my life in a way that would honor her. So just hearing that, you know, that's always cool. And, you know, giving on the field is just something that has always been a little bit part of my DNA. I don't know how to play any other way than just sort of throwing it and laying on the line on the field. That's how I've always played football.
Well, he's got the 1998 Tennessee Volunteer champion hat on, so he's my grandpa's favorite player because he's a Vol, and he's one of my mom's favorite players because she's also a Vol. You know who the quarterback was for the 98 Volunteers?
T. Martin.
Yep. Quarterback coach for the Baltimore Ravens.
Yep.
It's a small world. But going against this Baltimore squad, obviously a very good team, their defensive line is good, and Justin Madubuike, one of the best defensive tackles in the NFL. How are you guys preparing for that challenge of facing these guys on Sunday?
Yeah, just watch them on film a little bit. You can tell they're a very physical unit. It's going to be a challenge up front. They're very talented. Their linebacking core is excellent as well. Play both those guys in college and SEC. So understanding the level of physicality that's going to be required to get this win, you know, what needs to be established up front at the line of scrimmage, what needs to be done. So at the end of the day, we have to bring our A game every single rep we go out there because they're going to bring it.
Unique team. They have 60 sacks, lead the league.
Yep.
But 44 of those, Trey, have been without a blitz. Like, they're getting pressure with four. But you guys handling that, and how tricky are they with twists and games and stunts?
Yeah, you can see some things from depth with their linebackers when they're getting stunts and a lot of TTs up front. But I think it's one of those things where just as a unit, just playing cohesively, playing as long as the line, you say, playing through the same set of eyes, seeing the same thing. Patrick's always going to get us on the right page, and Creed will adjust from there. So we'll be good in that aspect, in that regard. We just have to bring it every play.
You know who also has a good defensive line is the Bills, and these guys handled them last week. Ed Oliver, in particular, had 65 pressures this year. Zero pressures on Sunday, and yeah, that's partly you. What was that challenge like, and how satisfying was it to go into Buffalo, get a win, and to dominate up front the way that you did?
Yeah, from the Ed Oliver perspective, I got to give a lot of credit to Joe Tooney. He had a lot of singled up reps on him and did a heck of a job out there. And, you know, just once again, just sort of a testament to the coaching job of Andy Heck, Corey Matey, identifying that he was one of those guys that we need to stop up front in order to have success as a unit. But, you know, there's no greater feeling than going to someone else's home, getting that victory and advancing in the playoffs. It doesn't get better than that.
But, Trey, you guys only had really four kneel downs, so 43 advancements. They had 78. I think it was overlooked of how clean you guys played. Only five third downs. No false starts.
Yeah.
What about the concentration required to play in the playoffs, but then in the playoffs on the road because you're going into it again?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was my first road playoff game. Yeah. So, I mean, it was definitely a different environment, you know, mastering the silent cadence, being very in tune with the game plan because communication was very minimal out there. You know, the Bills sort of have a rabid fan base, so that's a hostile environment. But you have to really be in tune, focused, and really looking towards that goal, what you're trying to get accomplished in every play, what's the mission, what's required for me to be successful. So I think it was a great job by the team, the offensive unit, as well as the defense. Everyone all combined as a team effort of getting it done, going into a hostile environment and getting that W.
And how about finishing it? Because Bass misses the kick. There's about a minute 40 left.
Yep.
Buffalo has one or two timeouts left. You got to get a first down to end it.
Yep.
And you guys get that push for Isaiah to get 8 yards on first down, 3 yards on second down, game over.
Yep.
What was the mentality like in the huddle before that first run?
Yeah, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. I don't care what they line up. I don't care what blitz, what pressure they bring. We're going to get this first down. We're going to kneel this ball. We're getting victory formation to get up out of here.
It's awesome.
Final question. And I'm going to go back to the Cincinnati game because that's kind of what this spurt started. It was after the Raiders game, let's be honest, on Christmas Day.
Yep.
It's almost like you guys on the offensive line said, we're going to light the fuse, jump on our backs. How much of that was a moment of truth in the week going into Cincinnati because you have not stopped since then? And I'm going to include the Charger game.
Yeah.
You guys all had to rotate and play in that game. There's not enough dudes.
Yep.
What about that week prior to Cincinnati and kind of an epiphany?
Yeah, I think it's a sense of urgency. Just speaking a little more personally, I feel like the Raiders game obviously wasn't a result anybody wanted on Christmas Day. Like, you don't want to go home and lose in that fashion. And I think everyone just sort of, I'll speak in this aspect, because I'm speaking for myself personally, just sort of had a reflection moment where, you know, at the end of the day, you don't want to put that product on the field. You know, we're better than that. We know we can do better than that. So I think at the end of the day, Coach Reed always emphasizes, you know, the bigs up front, offensive line, defensive line, setting that tone, and everyone else will follow. So always being that source of energy that our offense can rely on. You know, if we're not getting the pass or we're a little clamped up, let's get to the run. Okay, the run game's going. Okay, boom, we're hitting them down the field. Whenever we're able to operate like that, our offense is just so much better. So I think just setting that tone, being the physical presence, being the energy source for our offense is something that, one, it was required, and when we stepped up and we filled that, you know, everything else sort of fell in place from there.
As an offensive lineman, you live in anonymity, right? But you can win awards, Pro Bowls, or All Pros. But for Trey Smith, and for any offensive lineman, to be the hero of a 9-year-old might be the coolest thing yet.
I'm cooler than that.
What an amazing human. Love that guy. It's for so many reasons, but we all want the warrior poet, you know. We want the William Wallace's on the field, like, just go get him. And I'll go anywhere with that guy because he'll lead the way, Trey Smith. But to be a gentleman, and I love it that Cora, that's her hero. But he's a hero.
Yeah, he's awesome. And I also love that he loves being here.
Yeah.
So everyone knows this. We're both from the area. We both grew up as Chiefs fans. So a lot of our players are not from here, but when they come here and they're immersed in the culture and in the city and what it means to be a Chief, and they clearly love it, that brings me pride. And if you look at Trey in our post-game locker room videos that we put out, or pregame when everyone says home of the Chiefs. Watch Trey. He loses his mind. He has so much pride knowing that this is the home of the Chiefs, or how about those Chiefs? Like, he loves it. And it's little things like that that say a lot about him as a person, that he's here. He's not from here. He has no ties to this place other than the fact he plays for this team. But because of that, he loves it here, and he loves the culture. He loves being a Chief. Our social team was doing the Instagram 10 questions with him a little earlier, and they asked him his favorite color. He said red. I think there's a correlation there. So I love that he loves being a Chief.
And I thought it'd be orange because he loves Tennessee.
And I wouldn't blame him for it, but he said red with no hesitation. I love it.
But in getting to know him, so the Chiefs Kingdom, this is a very close team. In my 30 seasons, these last 2 years, this is a very close team. So it feels family-ish. The Kingdom, even our Kingdom Defenders feels family-ish. The Lord blessed you and I with great families. We have great family units. I've seen yours. There's love and respect, and it's generational. Trey grew up like that too, but he lost his mom. You just heard it so early. But his family, like Ashley, his sister, they're so tight. And where he comes from, he gets it. And so the sense of family, I think that's why he loves it here so much, because it reminds him of Tennessee. It reminds him of the way he grew up. And now he is a huge part of having that family feeling and bringing it out. And it's why a 9-year-old having him as a role model is awesome. But he's got he and the rest of the offensive line have got a big chore in this game. You mentioned lead him in sacks. I know we talked about it in the interview, 60 sacks by the Ravens, 44 without a blitz. That means that's four dudes coming. And these four dudes can bring it. And they'll do, you heard him say, TT stunts, twists, games, but sometimes they'll just bull rush you and get after you. So when you play an opponent, you look for the chink in the armor. I don't see tons of weaknesses in this Baltimore team, but when you look at them defensively, where can the Chiefs attack them?
Yeah, for those listening, you're probably like, we get it. They're really good. Now, how can we win? Well, here are some areas I think the Chiefs can win. The first, run the football. And that's obvious. You want to run the football at all times. But look at the game plan last week against Buffalo. It was clear the Chiefs wanted to run the football. And Baltimore's defense is very good in just about every area. But I think the Chiefs can run the football on these guys, just based on the numbers that they've put up this year. They're allowing nearly 4.5 yards per carry. That's eighth most in the NFL. They're also allowing 109 yards on the ground per game. That's middle of the pack in the NFL. They've allowed 52 runs of 10 or more yards this year, and 45% of runs against them have gained at least 4 yards. So they're kind of middle of the pack in a lot of defensive categories when it comes to running the football. Enter Isaiah Pacheco, who runs with his hair on fire at all times. Isaiah was so good last week, rushed for 97 yards, as I mentioned earlier, 64 yards after contact, forced 4 missed tackles, and had 3 runs of 10 or more yards, had the touchdown, and also finished the game on the ground, getting that final first down. We need that from Isaiah Pacheco here in this game. Run the ball effectively, and don't let that pass rush, which is so good, get after Patrick Mahomes. Keep him guessing throughout the game. The other thing is these guys are middle of the pack in terms of yards after the catch allowed. So if you look at what the Chiefs have done all year, using Rashi Rice in the screen game, Isaiah Pacheco, Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the screen game, I think doing that and running the football, all of a sudden, this Baltimore defense, they can't just get after Patrick Mahomes every single time. They have it in the back of their mind. This could be a run. This could be a screen. And that little millisecond of doubt creates opportunities in the deep passing game, which was also really good last week. So in my mind, it's a lot like Buffalo. It's a lot like that game plan. Go into Baltimore, run the football effectively, which the Texans couldn't do last week. No. The Texans really struggled to run the football. They rushed for only 38 yards as a team, and it made them one-dimensional. You can't be one-dimensional against the Ravens. Run the football effectively, and don't let them get ahead of steam with that pass rush.
Yeah, and again, excellent points. And to back up, I always look at the last 8 weeks because you can break down. You always look at the second half of the schedule. And Baltimore beat a lot of really good teams, but they were 18th in the league in 20-plus pass plays given up. Now, some of that is teams are behind, but that's a lot. So there's a chance to get them. And you're right. This is a copy and paste. We might as well just copy and paste what we have here from our Buffalo, because to stay ahead of the chains is huge against this team. To play pristine and clean, meaning penalties, only 2 penalties in Buffalo was way overlooked by anybody analyzing the game. And the other thing would be the takeaways.
Yeah.
The Baltimore defense, who is restricted from their exposure because their offense hangs on to the ball so much, right? So their offense helps their defense. But 31 takeaways and 105 points off those takeaways is, of course, near the top of the league. They live off those. Now, here's my other one. The defense helps the offense if you're the Chiefs.
Oh, yeah.
Do not keep Baltimore on the field. All of a sudden, you flip field position. Can you get them off? You may not get them in three and outs. They don't have many of those. But if you win the defense now helps the offense because you risk the exposure of the Baltimore defense, just like it is vice versa here, because when we look at defensive numbers throughout the league, we don't always look at time of possession because we're like, not all teams are the same. They don't have to face the same number of exposures. And Baltimore has been minimized because of their offense.
And it's funny, we talked about a copy and paste for the Buffalo game plan because defensively for the Chiefs against the Ravens offense, it's also a bit of a copy and paste because the only offense that resembles the Ravens offense right now in the NFL is the Buffalo Bills. And what's funny is we're talking about how good the Ravens defense is. It's so good. Well, the Chiefs defense is really good too. It's right there with the Ravens in all of these categories. And it's going to be a challenge for the Ravens offense to move the ball on this Chiefs defense. Now, let's talk about the Ravens offensively a little bit. I said they're very similar to Buffalo. It's because they run the football. They led the NFL in total rushing attempts this year with 541 and rushing yards per game with 156.5. They also had 70 runs that went for 10 or more yards. That ranked fourth in the NFL. And 21 of those went for 20 or more yards, second in the NFL. And part of it's Gus Edwards at running back. Good, solid player. Averages just over 4 yards per carry. But the key, and it's obvious, is Lamar Jackson. Because Lamar Jackson might be the best athlete in the NFL. I mean, rushed for 821 yards this year, led all quarterbacks. 29 runs of 10 or more yards. And look at last week against the Texans. He had 5 runs of double-digit yardage. You got to contain Lamar Jackson. You cannot let Lamar Jackson get out of the pocket and create big plays with his legs. That is their bread and butter. And when he is kept in the pocket, you force him to only throw the football. That's at times where they struggle. Don't get me wrong. He can throw the football really, really well. But he is at his best when he is dynamic and you don't know what he's going to do. You got to contain him first.
Coach and I had this discussion on the Chiefs Kingdom show on the radio network. My college coaching buddies around the country will go, God, we're playing Army. And it's just like we got to redo everything on our defense because Army is so unique. And it's almost like they need 2 weeks to get ready for Army. But if you play Army and Air Force in back-to-back weeks.
Helps.
It helps. And they will all say that, right? If you're playing, that doesn't happen very often. The teams aren't playing those two. But the fact that the Chiefs are really playing the Army and Air Force of the National Football League in 2 consecutive weeks. And where we talked about this last week. It's quarterback design runs. And Lamar Jackson either can take off like Josh Allen, but Josh Allen has designed runs. The Chiefs did a great job of defending him. In fact, I had some ask that, hey, Chris Jones, is he like dogging it or something? He's not. No, he was designed to not just get up the field. His design was to push, but to play gaps because you don't want Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson taking off and running right by you. But it's also Baltimore's designed runs. These are like screens. Mm-hmm. And they'll pull offensive linemen. Ronnie Stanley, they got a weak side run that's just nasty. They ran it on Houston several times. And they'll go to the weak side. And they'll look and they'll maybe even call it. But then Ronnie Stanley will pull, and it's basically a QB sweep, like seventh grade football. But it's really kind of, they show pass first, and then Stanley pulls. It's really hard to defend because you have elite guys trying to execute it. But let's transition here. This is a big week for Lamar Jackson. You mentioned he's better in the passing game. He's 2-3 in the playoffs. He's on the same timeline as Pat, other than the one game that Pat played in 2017 at the end. The rest, remember 2018? It was the two Wonder Kids coming in.
Uh-huh.
And it was Baltimore, Kansas City, 18 and 19. We saw it even into 20. Pat's no-look pass against these guys. that was that. But Pat's 13-3 in the playoffs. Lamar's 2-3. This is a big week for him. In his playoffs, he has 5 touchdowns and 5 picks. Okay. His quarterback rating prior to the game in the playoffs, prior to the game against Houston, was in his playoff career was 58.1. Now, he had a 121 rating in that game, so he's throwing it better, but they were kind of on their terms in the second half. The point is here, the pressure, there's a lot of pressure on the Ravens and Lamar Jackson this week.
Do you remember the 4th-and-9 play to Tyreek against these guys several years ago?
Signature play.
One of my favorite
plays.
It
was one of Patrick's first signature plays. Like, he stamped it like, I'm just not the Texas Tech throw it crazy all over the ballpark guy.
Because it didn't win like a playoff game or a Super Bowl, and there's so many other great plays, it kind of gets forgotten. But that 4th and 9 is one of my favorite plays ever. That, even though he had already won an MVP and everything, that's one of the moments I realized this guy might be one of the greatest to ever do it. But anyway, you're 100% right. Big game for Lamar Jackson. Also a big game for Patrick Mahomes, though, for all the reasons that we've been talking about. This is crazy. So a Sunday marked Mahomes' 13th career postseason victory. 13 of them, all right? He already has the 6th most of any quarterback in NFL history in terms of postseason wins. He tied Brett Favre and Ben Roethlisberger. If he can win against the Ravens on Sunday, he will tie Peyton Manning, John Elway, and Terry Bradshaw for the 3rd most postseason wins of any quarterback in NFL history. One more time. Peyton Manning, John Elway, and Terry Bradshaw for 3rd most all time. If he can win, only Tom Brady with 35 and Joe Montana with 16, that's also in sight, have more postseason quarterback wins than Mahomes if he can win on Sunday. That experience is important, and that's part of my point here. Lamar Jackson is probably going to be the MVP of the NFL this year. Tremendous season, really good player, and he was excellent in the second half against the Texans. But you cannot discount the experience that Patrick Mahomes has in the postseason, and I think that paid dividends against the Bills on Sunday. He went out there, he was not fazed by any pressure at all. He went out there and did what he does and what he has done throughout his career. And that should give Chiefs fans the ultimate confidence that this will be difficult going into Baltimore, going into an environment that wants nothing more than to win. But we've got Patrick Mahomes, and all he has done in his postseason career is go to the AFC title game, and more often than not, he has won it. So that's the beauty of this game for Chiefs fans. Once again, Patrick Mahomes going for his 14th career postseason win.
And the first time Lamar Jackson's played in an AFC championship game. First time he's gotten past the divisional round. One other thing to mention about Baltimore's attack, it is so tight end centric. We know about Mark Andrews. He'll probably be back this week. Isaiah Likely comes into the discussion, too. An outstanding Isaiah Likely, I should say, the second-year player to Coastal Carolina. Kind of that basketball player guy playing tight end that we have seen. But if you look at his quarterback rating, he's 11 touchdowns, no interceptions when targeting the tight end this year. His QBR when targeting any tight end, more than just Andrews, who has missed some time here since week 11, is 137. Now, they go wide receivers. This is a run game, Lamar Jackson running, but the tight end, there is no offense in the league where it is centered more around the tight end than the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, and this team wants to remain on
maybe
schedule.
Maybe the Kansas City Chiefs.
Maybe, with the greatest tight end of all time. This team wants to remain on schedule, though. They want to run the football effectively and use their big tight ends on intermediate routes over the middle of the field. Look at Pro Football Focus numbers. I know we don't always agree with their grades, but here's what they have. On throws between 10 and 19 yards, PFF ranks Lamar as the best passer in the NFL. 11 touchdowns, 0 interceptions on those attempts. A lot of those are to the tight end. It's to Mark Andrews or it's to Isaiah Likely, both very good players. Like you said, Andrews will likely be back for this game. He's been gone for quite a while now, but I think he'll be healthy for the AFC title game. Those big tight ends over the middle of the field are dangerous. But if you can slow down the running game, you contain Lamar Jackson, don't let him get outside the pocket for big plays, you frustrate this offense, look at some of their losses this year. Look at Week 10 against Cleveland. They only rushed for 106 yards as a team. They lose that game. In that game, Lamar and Gus Edwards combined for only 65 rushing yards on 19 attempts, and they turned the ball over twice. So you frustrate them, you volley back and forth like the Chiefs did against the Bills. You keep the pressure on them offensively. If you stop their running game, you might force them into a mistake in the passing game, and then things might snowball a bit. They haven't had to deal with that a lot this year because they've been able to run the football, but this Chiefs defense has been so good. Number 2 scoring defense in the NFL. Fewest second half points allowed in the NFL this year. If this defense can show up and make big time plays, take the ball away, stop the running game against the Ravens, it makes them more one dimensional, and that plays right into the Chiefs' hands.
The fact that we've been to 5 straight AFC championship games tells me this. We've seen it. Because all of those things, if the Chiefs can create that, will create pressure.
Yeah.
And honestly, you can argue the Chiefs are on house money going to Baltimore and trying to win following the block of Trey Smith all the way to the Inner Harbor and trying to win Lamar Hunt's trophy for the 4th time in 5 seasons.